Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hey, we're in this series called Together We Move here at this church. And if you're visiting today or if you're new to the church, I encourage you to open up your hearts today and let a revelation of what God's always intended church to be to get inside of your heart. Some people have had bad experiences. Some people have had difficult times or heard stories that have misrepresented what the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be. And can I tell you today, you're in a great church. You're in a safe church. You're not in a perfect church. That stopped when you walked through the door. No, just kidding. When all of us walk through the door. But you're in a really great church, okay? A safe place to be. And I want to talk out of this scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5. And it's where David says, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced. And the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent. I love that. Famous and glorious throughout all the countries. And I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations before his death for the house of God. Now, in David's time, when we hear about the house of God, it was a physical temple. It was a particular location that you would go to worship God, and that's where the presence of God would dwell. Now, in New Testament times, there is still a physical place where we come to worship as a group of believers, but we're told in the New Testament that we are the house of God. The believers are the house of God. The church of Jesus Christ, the living, it says this, you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. So now, what David talked about is the house of God being a geographical location. Yes, it is that, wherever we gather, but we together make up the church. We are the house of God. Peter says it like this, you are living stones. Not like living stone, I presume, but living stones, okay? That was a play on words, it's okay. I won't explain it. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Actually, I will. I'll be here later next week on Friday night. All good. So living stones, we're the blocks of the building of the house of God. You and I together, we're the church. We're the Besser blocks, the Hebel blocks. That God puts us all together, connected to each other. And it becomes, the Bible tells us, the dwelling place of the presence of God is in His saints, the church. And I believe that the church of Jesus Christ is the most magnificent house. This is a magnificent house. His church is a magnificent house. And that's what David was prophesying over the future. I believe what the Bible says, when you're planted in the house of God, your life will flourish. When your roots go down deep beside the rivers, the rivers of water that flow through the house of God, your life will flourish through the high seasons and the low seasons. The tough times, as we heard earlier, and the times when you're there for others who are having it tough, your life will flourish when you make God's house your priority of life. And I want to talk this morning. I love the house of God. I've grown up in church for many years. I grew up going to church with my parents. You know, in 1995, our church joined C3. And for the last 22 years, we've been part of this wonderful movement. You know, it's Pastor Phil's birthday today, actually, 65 years. We're part of this wonderful movement started by Phil and Chris Pringle, who celebrate people and love people. And I love the house of God. And there's lots of reasons that I believe the house of God is magnificent. Lots of reasons. But this morning I want to talk to you just about a few reasons of why the house of God and this house is magnificent, especially as we move together towards this pledge night coming up on Friday night. So can I share a few thoughts with you about why the house of God is magnificent? Is that okay? All right, the first one, I'm going to do it anyway, but I wasn't asking permission, but more just to engage you, because when you talk back to me, I preach better and I preach shorter. Hang on a minute. All right, a few of you are like, suddenly, okay, if that's how it works. David says this, I want to talk about the holy moments, the moments that make up the magnificent house of God. David says this for a day, in Psalm 84:10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather spend a day in the house of the Lord than with 10,000 anywhere else in the courts of the wicked. There's something about being in God's presence with God's people in His house. There's something about the moments that we have when we gather together, whether it's on Sundays, whether it's at youth, whether it's going out for meals, whether it's in our small groups, our connect groups, whether it's reaching into our community, there's something about the moments that we have when we gather together. It's something whole, something magnificent. I was thinking of this the other day, and just because life is made up of the moments. It's the little moments that and the little decisions. And every now and then you have significant moments. You don't know when they're coming. But when you look back over your life, you realize that your life is a sum total of all these different moments. And I've had many of my best moments. Many of the things that I remember with the most fondness have happened in the gathering of the people of God. I remember as a 23-year-old being in church on a Sunday morning, and I was dating my girlfriend, Danielle. And Danielle, you know, we were getting to know each other better. We got to know each other for quite a while. We're friends. I was mates with her older brother. And so we had a really good family connection. But I'm at that nervous moment. Am I gonna take it to the next level? Will I ask her to marry me? Is anyone feeling like that here today? Okay. Your girlfriend's like elbowing. Yeah, you're feeling like that right now. And so I'm in that moment, and she responds to a particular altar call. I don't even remember what the altar call was for, but I remember the moment. And the moment as she stands over here, I'm standing in the congregation, she stands over here on the altar, and I see her, and I'm saying in my heart, God, is she the one? Lord, God, should I take the leap of faith? I know her, but I don't know if she's the right one. I just had this voice on the inside, a whisper from God, you can trust me. She's the one. And I remember that moment. It was a holy moment. Magnificent church is made up of holy moments. Moments where my children have got baptized. Moments where I've been in worship and I've seen visions and had pictures. Moments, those kind of places where I've seen miracles. Moments of singing songs that have literally delivered me. David said that I sing songs of deliverance, and I come and worship and I'm singing songs and I feel something heavy break off my life in a moment. What is that? It's those holy moments that the fabric of my life has been woven together by those significant sacred moments, and they happen in the house of God. It's not just holy moments, it's funny moments that happen in church. I was, you know, you got Andy Gulo coming here on Friday night, just coming very soon, in a couple of weeks for Real Men. And Andy Gulo was telling me one of his favorite funny moments in the whole of his Christian walk happened in this church. And some of you are probably there as young people when Andy gets to be brought down the front as the guest speaker. And I'm guessing it was Pastor Andrew who had a great idea to bring him to church, to walk him in on a horse. What could possibly go wrong? Bring the guest speaker in a horse with hundreds of young people. And of course, no one told the horse to go to the toilet before he got inside. And he's walking down. Who was there? How many of you guys were there? He's walking down, right? And suddenly the horse stops and does a big number two. Dumps on Pastor Joe's beautiful new carpet. That's an awesome moment. I love the funny moments. I've just been told that this is the first time that's being shared publicly. I mean, that needed it. That's because Gordon and Joe aren't here, right? So what can they do to you now? You're fine. The horse pooing on the carpet at youth story. There's all sorts of, I remember one of the moments we had at church where we, the first 2 years of our current building, we couldn't afford air conditioning. We're on the sunny coast through two hot summers and it's stinking hot. And it's a tin roof and a concrete shed, and some of you may have visited. And we had our annual launch conference. And this year, we had Tim Hall and Fergus McIntyre, if you've heard of these guys. They were on the larger side of anointing and physicality. And seriously, they were sweating buckets of sweat. I'm thinking one of these guys is going to drop over dead and the other's going to have a miracle. And what we did the next year, we got this air conditioning unit in. Like, okay, we're going to just go all out. And we bought in a portable air conditioning. We had all these pipes running through the church, and this outside is the thing that's working. And it just, you know what? It didn't work. It just blew hot air. And I'd been promising for weeks, come to the launch conference, it's going to be icy cold. You can wear, you know, you can even wear jeans because everyone was wearing shorts, it was so hot. And so at the end of like the Sunday morning, we're like, this is ridiculous. This is the devil. Let's pray. So the whole team got around the air conditioning unit while it's on, praying to bind the devil. And in the moment that they were praying to bind the devil, it literally blew up in flames. The very moment. a classic moments. These are the moments of church life. When you put them together, they make the fabric of us. It's us moving together. It's the moments where someone says, here's $2 for the land in the future. And at the time, you don't think it's significant, but it becomes part of the folklore of the family and the house of God. These moments are gold moments. There's the funny moments. There's the family moments. And when I say family, they're the moments of the church family caring for one another. The meals that are dropped off, the love that's shown, the phone call when you most need it. I have a specific moment. My mum passed away about 8 years, and I remember she was 80 years old. She was a Christian, and it was a tough time for us as a family. And I remember pulling up at the funeral at Bribie Island and opening the doors and getting out of it. And I just have this specific memory of a moment where a couple of carloads of one particular, just group of guys, got out of the car, and they were men in the church, and they got out of the car, and they'd made the effort to come to the funeral. And to me, it touched me. I began to weep straight away, because it was a moment of the gathering of the house of God together, of one another support. These moments are sacred, and they bind us together for the purpose of God on the planet. I love these moments. A day. Why does David say a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else? Because he understands the power when we get together for a day, that moments are happening all the time for you and I that set us up for God's purpose in our lives. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you're having a moment today. Turn to the neighbor who is your second choice neighbor, and say, I hope you're having a moment today. Absolutely, absolutely. All right. What else do we love about the house of God that makes it magnificent? This magnificent house of God. For me, it's not just the moments. One of the things, when I look back and I realize that my relationship with God's got stronger and deeper all the time, consistently, you know, through highs and lows, there's been this growth in my own life. It's so connected to the house of God. I've heard it said like this: if when you discover Jesus, you discover your eternity. But when you discover the house of God, you'll discover your destiny. You can get to heaven just with Jesus alone, but you will not fulfill God's purpose on your own unless you're connected to the house of God. Your destiny is linked to the destiny of the people around you. We need each other to fulfill our purpose. And one of the ways that gets unlocked in us is just through hearing great messages. Week in, week out, great messages where the Bible, the Word of God, is preached to us. Some of these messages are game changers. When you first become a Christian, every message, every week, you're like, no way God heals. No way God wants to prosper us. No way I need to be pure. All these things, it's like, that's a game changer. That's a game changer. That's a game changer. After you've been around a little while, every now and then you'll hear a message that just shakes you to your core, either with excitement about something about God that you didn't know, or you'll hear something that you actually didn't really want to hear, but it's just elevates you into a new way of looking. I remember as a 13-year-old in the house of God, hearing for the first time the idea that I should spend some time every day in prayer and reading the Bible. And I remember as a result of a simple, not wow preach, but a simple message and a challenge that was made, making the commitment that I'm going to spend some time. And I made, a 21-day commitment. I'm going to spend time in reading the Bible and praying every day. It began a journey of my life of filling journals with the Word of God as God's just spoken to me. Little word, little word, little word. But you know what? That was a game changer. Yeah. I remember being at the Demountable in here in Bridgie down in Aspley back in the day, and Phil Pringle rocks along. I've never heard him live, and Phil Pringle's there, and he talks about, now if you want God to move in your life, you've got to take a step. And he's doing these big steps. He goes, and when you take a step, then God will take a step. And then he said, and then you've got to take another risk and take a step. And then God takes a step. He said, this is how you walk by faith. Right. It was a game changer for me. Take a risk. Step out of the comfort zone. It unlocks something in God. Game changer. They happen all the time. They're there all the time. Now, here's the thing. Unfortunately, as pastors, we can't send out an email going, hey, guys, this week is going to be your game changer. That's why you've got to be in the house of God consistently, because you never know when the game-changing message is going to come for you. You never know. And can I just say another little thing around the messages? I love podcasts. I listen to a couple every week. But podcasts, here's what you can do. If I gave my kids a choice of meals, we would eat tacos and ice cream a lot of the time. Okay, it'd be the stable diet of our family. And too many Christians are choosing to listen to tacos and ice creams. And tacos and ice creams. And they I could get a little rock going there, couldn't I? And they're listening to their favorite thing because they agree with it and it doesn't challenge them. But coming to a church where the pastors and the team's responsibility is to go, now what's the full diet? What's the Brussels sprouts message? No one wants to hear, but we need to deliver it. What's the entree? It's dessert. We can't have dessert all the time. We've got to have the full preaching of the Word of God. That's why being in the house of God and the first podcast every believer should listen to should be the podcast of their pastor speaking the Word of God, because that's the quickened Word of God for your house and for your church. Then you can supplement that with other awesome stuff, but let that be the first message, because there's not just game changer messages. There's also, I love this, there's get my head right messages. It's get my head right. You go, what do you mean get my head right? Oh, some people say, go to that flipping church down the road. I just want to brainwash you. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Have you seen what my thoughts are? If you open my brain up, you'd see anxious thoughts, stressful thoughts, selfish thoughts, judgmental thoughts. So it's not like a sort of, I feel like I'm having a transparency confession session. But if we open up your mind, we would see that same sort of stuff. I need the Word of God to wash my mind. I need to adjust my thinking. The world tells me that it's all about me. I need someone to say, no, it's about serving God and ministering to others. I need to get out of my selfish world that the media are bombarding me, that it's all about me. I need brain-changing messages, get your head right messages. I need to hear them all the time, because my default is back to my selfish nature. That's my default. If I'm not hearing the word as I read it, as I hear it, if I was to go, let's go home, let's get Michael here as a pilot, take me up the sunshine, take me up to Cairns, let's just say. And he just got a couple of degrees off on the compass. We could end up at Mount Isa. By the time we got there, and if you're not hearing the messages from the Word of God that just keep us back, back. Oh, I don't want to give. I want it to be about me. No, bring it back. It's not about you. We need that sort of thing. It's get my head right. There's also faith building messages, overcoming messages, warfare messages, how to messages, better husband, better family, better life, better workplace member, better business. All these sort of messages help us live our best life. It doesn't have to be new. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy and says to him, hey, I want you to remind them. Remind them. If I did everything I knew that I should do in my head, I'd be on fire. But I forget and I drift and I get distracted. And I need the messages of the magnificent house to remind me, oh, that's right. Oh, wait, I'm feeling like that because I got to get a bit of warfare stirred up. I'm feeling like that because I got to switch on the faith on the inside and believe God in this moment. I need reminding of things I might know, but I need the atmosphere of my life shifted because of the messages I hear. We're doing all right here this morning. The messages, the moments, the mentors, there's people all I've found over the years that there's people who have mentored me from the pulpit. They've mentored me in my small groups. They've mentored me. There's people who have mentored me by taking me aside, knowing my name and encouraging me and just giving me a smile and a hug on a Sunday morning. I haven't realized how much that's meant to me. Some people who have mentored me don't even know they've mentored me. It's just been their example as I've watched them. I've watched the way they treat their wife. I've watched the way they bring their kids to church. I've watched the way they seem to overcome, even though there's private obstacles, they seem to be able to overcome it and live for other people. And I've been mentored by the community of church. That's why the house of God is magnificent. The last thing as we go through here is the miracles that I've seen. Why the house of God magnificent? The miracles. Like there's God's into doing miracles. I talked about some of the ones earlier. About 3 months ago, I prayed for a lady in our church. She'd have to be about 70. Her name's Pip. She used to be the nanny who would pay to come to our church on Sunday nights to look after the kids. She loved the sound of church so much that when someone could volunteer to do it, she came to church and got saved. And so Pip's just a delightful woman. She's coming to church. And anyway, one Sunday morning, just had a word of knowledge, just like we did earlier, about someone with sore hips. There we go. And she comes out the front. And we hear this story that 20 years ago, she was a nanny carrying a baby in a house, hit a slippery floor, and of course she was holding this little baby, whacked one hip on the bench, the kitchen bench or the bathroom bench, and then landed on the other hip. And for the last 20 years has been in continuous pain, continuous pain. And uncomfortable, she's to turn over in bed, it's hard work. To get out of bed, it's hard work. I've just got to push through the pain consistently. And so we prayed for her, and the power of God touched her. And she said, my hips, she said from that moment, they got freer. I felt lighter. And she said they felt heat come into them. She's Kiwi originally. She said, do you have deep heat in Australia? I said, yeah, we've got deep heat. And so I walked up to the back after church. She goes, my hips are really hot. They're really hot. Touch them. And I'm like, Pippa, can't touch your hips at church. Imagine how that's going to look to everybody else. She's like, okay. And the joke now is Pip's hot hips. At 5 o'clock that night, the heat left and the pain left. And she's been pain-free. Every time I see her, she's got a big smile. She's doing a little jig. She's doing this thing. Why? Because miracles happen in the magnificent house of God. Healing miracles. Financial miracles happen. If I was to just stop, and I'll do more of this on Friday night, but I've found over and over and over the principle of when people put God's house first, He looks out for them. Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So we say this, if you look after God's house, because that's His number one priority on the earth, His house, that's the way He's going to reach the world, through His house. So if you put God's house first, then He'll put your house first. In other words, story after story, we had a single mom in our church who was serving, volunteering, using her gift, and giving financially, stretching, believing God. And one day someone just came and bought her a house. And handed her the keys and the title deed, debt free. Those sort of stories, you go, oh, that doesn't happen. It's only to one or two. But it's the principle. It happens more than you realize to people who make a commitment that, anyway, I'm living for an eternal purpose that's way bigger than my own purpose. And when I live for that eternal purpose, God looks after my world. I'll tell more stories on Friday night of miracles that God's done in people's lives and in my life. I'm a walking testimony of the power of giving and faith and a miracle working God. I'm going to talk about this little teaser. There's a scripture that says where God says, I want to make you a symbol and a source of blessing. I believe God wants to make His church a symbol so the world looks at us and says, that's what the children of God have, that's what they're like, and a source of blessing. And we'll tell some stories and that'll encourage you. The financial miracles are awesome. The marriage miracles, the family miracles, the restoration miracles. But my favorite kind of miracle is the miracle of transformed lives. It's the miracle of people who didn't have a relationship with God. And they come to our churches. They see the life that we've got. They feel the presence of God. They see the joy. They see the selflessness and the servanthood of the people of the house. They hear the preaching and they experience the presence of the Holy Spirit and they say yes to God. In the front row here is Michael. And you might not know this, but Michael's mum's name is Joanne Ford. And about probably 20 years ago, she got saved in this church. She met Jesus. She gave her life to Christ. She came to this church for a number of years. Beck and Nat Faye's mum came to this church and got saved because of Michael's mum. Michael's mum led her to church and she got saved. You're singing songs because of generations of impact, can I just tell you right now, anyway. And so then they moved to the coast. Michael and his twin brother Scott begin to come to our youth group in our church, because we're a C3 church like that she'd gone to. And they come down on a Friday night to Supernatural Conference here. James Murray's preaching and Michael gives his heart to Christ. Our churches have got this great connection. I love it. Michael gives his life to Christ. Then his dad, whose name's Tony, who I love, but he was the stubborn. Like, you look up the word stubborn in the dictionary, is a photo of Tony. He gets prophesied over, and when he comes to church, everybody loves on him. He's a delightful guy, but because of some situations growing up with his dad and with church, he's got a mental blockage to God. So I took him out for a couple of breakfasts and just talked to those specific mental blockages. And I remember the day, speaking of holy moments, when Tony gave his life to Christ in a restaurant, in a cafe over breakfast. And I've watched him transformed. I've watched him become generous. He was already generous, but I've watched him get really generous. I've watched the warmth come into his heart and through his eyes. I've watched purpose grip his life now. He's living not just for himself, but for purpose. I've watched a sense of angst ooze out of his heart. I've watched the transformation in his family's life. That's the greatest miracle that you and I can ever experience. The miracle of transformed lives. That's what we're a part of. That's why I give. That's why I sacrifice. And I'd do it even if nothing came back. But that's the way God's wound it up, that He actually brings back to us. But I do it because of the lives that are transformed in the magnificent house of God. I want to invite you and urge you to come. I've got the end of that scripture where David went like this. He said, Solomon, my son, is young and experienced. The house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all the earth. He said, I will make preparation for it. And he made abundant provisions. This Friday night as we gather together, you might not, you're like, oh, I can't really do much. Well, it's about being involved. It's about giving just something. And it might be $5 a week. For someone, it might be $500 a week. But for someone else, it's $5 a week because of a willingness to say, I'm in. I'm part of the banquet. I love that. I'm part of the whole package. And I'm coming because I'm in my heart, I'm just saying, I'm all in. And I want to experience what I'm yet to experience in terms of the abundance that God wants to unlock in my life.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.